This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello, and welcome to episode 124 of BookCareers.com Live. Thank you for all your messages regarding last week's question and answer session. I was going to answer some more questions this week, but instead, following on from some conversations I've had, I'd like to take it back a stage and talk about getting started in book publishing as a career. This episode covers some of the basics before you even start applying for jobs. Every week I talk to numerous people who are at different stages of their job search and career choices, and this episode is mostly for the complete novice, someone who has decided to look at a career in book publishing because it seems rather a nice thing to do. But even if you're a regular listener, you might learn something too. The first point I want to make is that book publishing defies the logic. If you follow any of the publishing community on Twitter, you will see that it is extremely active, and because so many people seem to be talking about jobs, job opportunities, internships, inclusivity, and you have a number of publishing hopefuls tweet everything about their job search, all of this gives the impression that there are lots of jobs around and a great number of opportunities, and the industry is expanding rapidly. Also, because the publishing industry overall is perceived as having done well out of the pandemic, we're seeing a mass of people looking towards book publishing as a career. However, publishing in terms of employment is not growing. There might be one or two extra roles created, but you will not see the kind of job creation that you would see in other industries outside of book publishing. For example, an industry such as teaching employs 500,000 people in the UK. Major employers in the UK, like EY, formerly Ernst & Young, employ around 11,000 people. Yet the UK book publishing industry is estimated to employ between 35,000 and 55,000 staff. One of the biggest employers is Penguin Random House, who employ around 2,000 staff in the UK. But that number count includes staff at their warehouse and distribution facilities, and those in what could be classed as other non-creative roles, such as facilities, accounts, and human resources. So if a major publisher like Penguin Random House talks about expansion or graduate recruitment schemes, they are unlikely to be talking about anything other than a handful of jobs. Yet outside of publishing, companies like EY talk about accepting 1,000 new graduates in 2020, which is sometimes when you might have a conversation with me. If you are on the fence about whether publishing is for you, or you may have many other career options, I might suggest that you explore those, especially if they're in industries which are far bigger than UK book publishing. That might seem an odd conversation to have with someone like me who actively promotes book publishing as a career, but with the competition for roles as fierce as it is at present, it is best you are employed first and then think about your career options second. This doesn't mean write off any aspirations you may have about working within book publishing, but it is far better to be employed in a job, any job, and then spend your time focusing on the industry or the roles you most desire. The second point I want to make is about learning the fundamentals of the industry within which you want to work. You want to learn the different sectors, what makes academic publishing different from trade, what are the different editorial roles, what other departments are there aside from editorial, and how do they all fit together. The best book for everything like this is called Inside Book Publishing by Giles Clark and Angus Phillips. It contains a comprehensive knowledge to all you need to know about book publishing, and it's used as a textbook on all Masters in Publishing courses. If it's too expensive for you to buy, then do borrow it from the library, but it's the kind of book you will want to have your own copy of. The third point, and where Inside Book Publishing may help you, is on knowledge. One thing I notice mostly about those who have had other careers and want to come into book publishing is that unless that other career is something to do with books and the media, and by that I mean book selling, TV, broadcasting, games, journalism, the chances are that you might not be as up to date with technology, trends and new innovations, and how far advanced publishers are in so many different fields. I never thought I'd say that. Back in the 1990s, when Peter Kindersley was saying that the printed book is dead and celebrating CD-ROMs, publishing was being driven, kicking and screaming, into the 20th century. But now I feel the industry has reinvented itself in so many ways, and the chances are, if you work in book publishing, you're probably ahead of the game in so many different ways. Book publishers are now amongst the first to explore new markets, to play with different technologies, to see whether something works for them, whether it's an advancement in print technology, a new country to sell rights to, an additional social media platform, or new software. Before, publishers were risk averse, but now they're quick to jump on board. But I digress. This brings me on to point three. Once you've read Inside Book Publishing and you've got a pretty good idea of where you see your future career, it's up to you to research further. You want to research the main publishers in the field that you want to work. You want to sign up for their newsletters, follow them on social media. On all platforms. Some companies do Twitter better, some LinkedIn, some Facebook, some focus on Instagram. Follow them on their preferred platform and then identify their competitors and do exactly the same thing. By this, you will start to get a feel for what publishing is doing really well and what that publisher is doing really well, what is going well for them, and if you're following their career pages, what opportunities are coming up now or you might aspire to in the future. You should also see if you can find out about how many people they employ, as that will give you an idea whether you may be able to be employed by them in the future. Following on from that, point four covers up-to-date industry knowledge. You need to be reading the trade news. The Bookseller, Book Brunch, Publishing Perspectives all have a free element to their news and their daily newsletters. If the publisher you want to work for works or sells books in the USA, then it's a good idea to sign up for Publishers Weekly and Publishers Lunch. Again, some of their news is free. If there are any other countries that you want to work in or you want the publisher has got big connections with, then see if you can find out what trade journal is in that market and sign up for it too. It's also useful to sign up for newsletters from the International Publishers Association. Now, in all of the Q&A, I've been asked several times, what do I personally read? And how do I absorb or keep up with trade news? Now, I read the daily news headlines on The Bookseller and Book Brunch. And then as I have a paid subscription, I will sometimes click through on the news items that interest me most. This might be an item about a publisher who is expanding or in trouble or doing something innovative, something related to careers or their workforce. Or it could be some new appointments or news about one of my many clients. I also read the headlines on Publishers Weekly and Publishers Lunch to keep up with what's going on in America. But I've been around the block as far as publishing is concerned, so most of the news, I'm aware of what it means, I've heard before, or I know what to expect. But for you, reading things for the first time, everything will feel strange. You don't need to make notes. You probably don't even know what you're looking for or expected to know at this stage, and all the names are likely to be extremely unfamiliar. But that is okay. That is fine. What you do need to do is to read what is going on. Understand how embedded publishers are in advancements and technology. Who is doing what markets or rights sales have happened, what is being promoted. Look at the bestseller list. Are you expected to have read everything on the bestseller list? No. Are you expected to have read everything in the top 10 of the bestseller list? No. But you should look at who is there, which publisher or imprint is publishing the best-selling books, how many copies have been sold, and how many weeks they've been on the bestseller list. No, you don't need to make a note of this information or keep a record. Just be aware. If you're fortunate enough to get at some point to get an interview with a publisher, then Google is your friend, alongside several previous episodes of this podcast, all which cover different aspects of interviews. Point five is about the level of jobs and what level to pitch yourself at. I see many entry-level people going straight for editor roles because that's what they want to be, and then wondering why their applications are getting nowhere. Publishing jobs are based on a pyramid structure that you start at the bottom and you work your way up. If you've been working in another industry and have many years' experience, then you might, and that is a very cautious might, look at something that is not entry level. Most entry level roles will contain the word assistant, as in editorial assistant, production assistant, rights assistant, sales and marketing assistant, publicity assistant. If the word assistant comes before the name of the department, the chances are that it isn't an entry-level role. But the only way you can assess whether the job is for you is by reading and understanding the job advertisement. If they're asking for experience you haven't got, the chances are it isn't an entry-level role. Now, job titles are much of a muchness. Job functions vary from publisher to publisher, and even in a big publishing company, an editorial assistant in one imprint might not be doing the same as an editorial assistant in another. The only way to understand whether the job is for you is by reading the job advertisement line by line and understanding what skills and competencies are being asked for. Point six is about salaries. There's another episode in a few weeks discussing salaries in detail, but under Book Job Transparency, most, if not all, entry-level advertisements carry a salary or salary band, and one or two might tell you when you can expect your first increase. So if you're career changing into book publishing, it's likely that you might find the salaries are not the same as what you've been earning elsewhere. Whatever your background, don't instantly assume that this is an entry-level salary and that your next role will be paying £10,000 more. That is highly unlikely to happen. A second level job in publishing might be only be paying £2,000 more, or maybe even £3,000 or £4,000 more than an entry level role. You might have to wait a few years before your salary moves on. Point seven is about books and talking about books, and this is really key, whatever you plan to do with your publishing career. You need to learn to talk about books in a way that makes someone you are talking to want to read that book. If someone asks you what you're reading right now, it's no good only giving the basic information, such as, "I'm reading Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office." You're probably not interested in the title at all. You don't know whether it's fiction, non-fiction, or something in between. Whereas if I said, "I'm reading Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office," it's a book about office politics for people who don't play office politics. It tells you when it's appropriate to share cake with colleagues, when to interrupt a meeting, and how to deal with colleagues you can't stand. It's the kind of book you can read from cover to cover or dip into from time to time. I saw it on the table at Waterstones Piccadilly, and the title alone made me want to read it. I have not been disappointed. I'm going to ask you now, do you now want to read that book? And this is what you need to practice with friends and family. It isn't that you're trying to pitch the book all the time, but especially if it's fiction, can you describe the book in a way that makes someone else want to read it? And this is really a key skill for someone who wants to work in publishing. Editorial staff have to pitch books to others at editorial meetings, sales conferences, and sometimes editors accompany sales managers to meetings with buyers. Writers have to pitch books to different publishers, often international. Publicity and marketing and sales are pitching books all the time. So if you can, practice talking about a book in a natural way that makes someone else want to read it. That seems a good place where we should stop. I hope I've given you some action points to take. Other things you can do is to go to the Book Careers homepage and sign up for the Book Careers Newcomers Job Club. You can ensure you're subscribed to this podcast. We're on most podcast platforms. Just search for Book Careers. You're welcome to go to the Book Careers homepage and book into our careers clinic for a quick chat, or post any questions you have, or join the discussion on the Book Careers forum at bookcareers.com/live. And also ensure you're following the Work in Publishing hashtag on social media. If you're stuck, my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag bookcareers, or on Twitter @bookcareers, or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.